Almost everybody carries snapshots of Michael Caine in their heads. Soldier, spy, psychiatrist, psycho, and swinger, he's been in more than 100 movies, won 2 Oscars and a knighthood. If you've missed him since he reprised his role as Batman's butler, Alfred Pennyworth, he stars in a new picture called Is There Anybody There? As a former magician who lives at a family-run retirement home. His room there once belonged to Edward, a morbid 10-year-old played by Bill Milner.
I used to have a room with Paddington Bear wallpaper.
Yeah, well, I used to have a beautiful wife and all my own teeth. Your life changes, Buster. And not always for the better. You accumulate regrets, and they stick to you like old bruises.
Let me go out on a limb here. Michael Caine already knows that millions of people love his work. If you have an actual question for him about his job and how he goes about it, give us a call. 800-989-8255 or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. Michael Caine joins us today from the studios of member station WNYC in New York City. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Isn't there an old rule from vaudeville days that says never work with a kid in the act?
Yeah, well, I fell into that very early on. I'm the kid in the act. I became the kid in the act. The kids are interesting because they fix themselves like animals. They turn their heads and stick their eye on you and then just keep staring at you until you do something. It starts when they're a baby. A baby will look at you and just keep looking at you until you do something. And that's my style of acting. I concentrate exactly on you. But working with Bill Milner in this movie, it wasn't like working with a child. He's not precocious, but it's like working with an adult actor. He's only made one film. For some reason, he's the perfect movie actor, and I don't know where he got it.
Is that annoying?
No, it's fantastic because I like to work with people who are very good, and that makes me better. If you work with bad actors, it's a nightmare, you know. And sometimes you work with children who are a nightmare, not because they're bad actors, but because they've been taught all the wrong things. I mean, if you go to a theatre school, you are being trained to be a theatre actor, when in actual fact you wind up, you're in a movie. You're supposed to be a movie actor, which is a entirely different thing.
Well, the big difference that I've been told about, I've never had the experience either way, is movie acting, for one thing, you have to wait around a long time.
Yeah, well, it seems like waiting if you're not doing anything with the role. But if you have an actor like me, I'm Stanislavski, and the basis of Stanislavski is rehearsal is the work, performance is the relaxation. So there's no waiting around. If you're in the dressing room between takes, you are rehearsing what you're going to do until you bust, and then you go out and you're very relaxed doing it because you're confident.
Is there any difference for you in working a huge, big blockbuster production like The Dark Knight or a little modest production like Is There Anyone There?
Oh, it's a completely different thing. A little picture like Is Anybody There is like a family. It's like a little circus. You travel around and you all know each other very well and you see each other every day. On a movie like Batman, I remember when the first stuff I did on Dark Knight, they'd been shooting since February. This was April, and I was shooting with Christian Bale, who is Batman. And I said to him, how long have you been on this film? And he said, this is my first day. So what happens is you go away, and then you meet an entirely different group of people. The crew stays more or less the same. But, I mean, I worked 14 days over 8 months. And so I'd turn up every now and then, do a couple of days, and go away. But, of course, you get lots of time off, which is lovely.
Lots of time off. Are you getting paid?
Yeah, I love time off. I'm good at that.
Well, I was going to ask about that, yet you seem to be working all the time.
No, I don't know why I always seem to be. I haven't made a film. I've just finished a film called Harry Brown, which is another small British picture like this one. And I hadn't worked for 15 months. But it just seems like that. I don't work so much now because I wait for scripts that are offers I can't refuse, and they don't come very often.
And how often do you get scripts? Every week?
Oh, I get a couple of scripts a week, yeah. But, you know, with a lot of them, you feel like saying to the producer, not only will I not do this film, I don't think you should do it either.
I bet they're pleased to hear that.
Yeah, well, I would never say that, but I think that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get some listeners in on the conversation. And again, the phone number, if you'd like to talk with Michael Caine about his job and how he goes about it, is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We have this email from Toby in Tulsa. I've loved everything Mr. Caine has ever appeared in, from The Italian Job and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels to Children of Men. Oh, I love that picture, too. I love everything that is, with the exception, Jaws the Revenge. Does Mr. Caine have any comments on that film? Was he forced to do it by masked gunmen holding a loved one hostage? All that being said, I must say that in spite of the movie being terrible, his performance within was brilliant.
No, I only take responsibility for films where I'm the star of the film. That was a film where I'd done lots of guest shots in films. I'd done A Bridge Too Far. Mm-hmm. I'd done Battle of Britain. And this was just another little guest shot in a movie. So the part was quite good, and I did it and went on about my life. I take responsibility if I'm the lead. And that, I was on the screen for about 10 minutes. You'll have to talk to the people who played the leads about that.
Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. Let's begin with Toby. Toby calling us from Durham, North Carolina.
Hello, Mr. Caine. Hello. I have a question for you. Sleuth is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I was so blown away to find out that Inspector Plotter was you at the end. You did such an amazing job of playing a man like 30, 40 years your senior, balding, heavy, lower voice. I mean, everybody that I saw it with was just blown away that it was you. Did you ever think maybe you wouldn't be able to pull that off, or, you know, people would see it coming?
I thought they might do, but, I mean, I made tremendous efforts not to. I spent hours in makeup doing it, but you always hope you can do it, and fortunately in that movie I did manage it, but it took a lot of, it was very, very hard work.
But it wasn't just the makeup, I mean it was your mannerisms, your voice, everything. It was like,
yeah, you have to change everything. I changed the octaves, the accent, everything. You'd have to, because if you saw through the disguise, then like Olivier would have seen through the disguise, so there was no movie.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for that. My family and I all bond on that movie. It's a fantastic performance. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
And then, of course, you not only did the two parts in the first movie, you went and then did the other part, Laurence Olivier's part.
Yeah, I played all the parts in that picture, the entire lot. I mean, it's one of those movies which is very easy. The entire cast was nominated for an Academy Award, Larry Olivier and I. But I did the second one, and, of course, I played the older man, and Jude Law played my part.
What was it like? It had been completely rewritten by somebody else.
That's right. I mean, it was a misnomer, I think, to call it a remake. I mean, we called it Sleuth and the remake of Sleuth. But Harold Pinter wrote it. And there wasn't a single line from the original story in it. I mean, we should have called it something else. I think we made a big mistake there, because we got slaughtered in the reviews because they said this isn't a bit like the other one. And, of course, it wasn't, because it was an entirely different piece of writing by an equally brilliant writer, but an entirely different one. So we made a big mistake there.
Here's an email from Jack in Ohio. I saw an interview once where Michael Caine said he intentionally looks at an opposite actor's single eye and does not shift his glance between that actor's two eyes. Is that right? And what other such techniques does he employ?
Yeah, the eyes are extremely important, obviously, in movies. You'll often see actors switching, like twitching from eye to eye. It's very, very, very annoying, and you might not even notice it yourself. You just know that you're not interested in the actor. You have to choose an eye to look at, and it's the eye where the eye that you're not using on the actor is facing the camera.
Have you?
And if you twitch, it's very awkward for people to concentrate on what you're saying. And if you want to do power, you don't blink. If you want to do comedy and fun, then you blink a lot, you know, and then you become Hugh Grant, who's very funny and very, very clever at that. But if you notice, Hugh never stops blinking, which makes him look like he always plays the guy who's a little bit weak and frightened and all that. That's what it is. But power, if you want power, just don't blink.
Do you prefer playing a power role, a comedic? What do you like to do?
I like to do something different every time and something that will stretch me, because I have no sense of competition with other actors. I love to watch other actors, good ones, but I have no sense of competition. The competition is with myself, and the worst and most ruthless critic I have is me. And so I'm forever looking to try and improve myself and do something and to sort of get a perfection for me. I mean, in this part, I've tried very hard. Other actors could do it better than me, but in this part, and is there anybody there? I was very happy because I couldn't have done it better myself.
Do you go and see yourself in the movies?
Once. I go and see it once to find out who I can blame if it's a failure.
Do you go at a screening, or do you go, with a mask?
I go to screening. Yeah, I'm always. Well, it's usually my wife and myself. Yeah, if it's a comedy like this one, is very, very funny. Although it's, it's
parts
about
of it
old
are funny,
people's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very funny. Yeah, parts of it are funny, and so I will creep into an audience and listen to see if they get the jokes, and then creep out again.
Here's an email from Christy in Oklahoma City. I had heard that you only work on films that are located in places with pleasant climates. Is this true? And does that include the English countryside?
No. That is not true. What was true was when my children were very young, I wouldn't work anywhere where I couldn't take them. Like, I couldn't. Go to the middle of the African jungle or in the middle of the desert. I didn't want to take my children where they'd be in any risk of anything. So when my children were very young, I was always worried about where the location was. That's where that story came from.
Michael Caine is with us. His most recent film comes out next week, I believe. It's called Is There Anybody There? You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get Stephen on the line. Stephen calling from Baton Rouge.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Caine, many years ago, I watched you in an interview, and the interviewer asked you when you're older if you might have any regrets, and you said, if I do, I hope they're for things I did and not things I never got to do. And I adopted that as a life philosophy, and I wanted to thank you for that, because I have many regrets, but they're for things that I've done and not things I never got to do, and I'm wondering if you have any regrets.
No, I don't. I don't regret things. The only thing I would have regretted was not having done something. That's what. Because if usually my wife said, "Well, shall we go or shan't we?" I said, "We'll go," and then we'll go and see something, and we don't like it. So you regret it. But if you'd not gone and it was something great, it would be a regret that would stay with you for your life. Regrets about things that you did do never stay with you.
Well, I appreciate that, because I've led a full life, and I thank you for it.
Now, Stephen, we hope you're not calling from the state penitentiary there in Baton Rouge.
No, you're not in prison, are you?
I'm an attorney in Baton Rouge.
Oh, you are.
Thanks very much, Stephen.
I've led a very happy full life, and I'm with you.
Let's go to Kyle. Kyle with us from Allen in Michigan.
Hi there. One of my favorite movies you've ever done was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Steve Martin and his character Rupert. Have you ever wanted to work with Steve Martin again or had the opportunity?
Yeah, we would have loved to have done a sequel to that, but funnily enough, the company who made it, they went into liquidation, and I don't know how they managed that.
Yeah, because that movie made a lot of money.
Yeah, the company made Dances with Wolves, Silence of the Lambs, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and then went into liquidation, so I don't know how to manage that. And we always wanted to do another confidence trick. And the one for the next movie, the one that Steve thought up is we were trying to sell a racehorse in Venice.
Oh.
If you could.
It would have been great.
If you could imagine a racehorse in Venice. and we had this racehorse in Venice in the middle of all the bridges and everything, and we were trying to sell it.
I see. Thank you so much.
Kyle, thanks very much for the call. This email from Ricky in Denver. I'm a big fan of Mr. Caine's work and wondered if he would be willing to speak a bit about his experience working with Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight.
Heath I didn't know at all. I'd never met him before, and I only worked with him for 2 days on the sequence where he comes up in the elevator and bursts into the party that Batman and I are giving. I never had any lines with him because he was sort of addressing and haranguing the entire party. I was really in the background. So I only ever talked to him between takes, and I thought he was a wonderful guy. And I know you're supposed to say that when someone's dead, but we got on very, very well indeed. And I thought that I'd never seen the makeup before, and we talked about that, and I thought it was absolutely fabulous because I knew what they were going to try and do with it, made it look sort of old and as though he was sort of rotting, and it did it.
And
but surprised me with the most was that he was quite calm and chatting, and then Christopher Nolan, the director, said, "Well, okay, we'll shoot now," and I had never seen his performance. You see, it was the first day in the first take. And then he went in the elevator and then came out, and I was completely stunned by the way he did it. I thought it was extraordinary. And I was very glad I didn't have any dialogue because I think I would have forgotten it because I was so stunned when he came out of the lift, when he came out of the elevator. That is the first time I saw the performance. And then, of course, I saw it for the rest of the 2 days and we chatted about it. But I thought he was an extraordinary actor and of course, an extraordinary waste. Everyone was so sad who worked on that movie. It was terrible, terrible. But for me, I thought he would win the Oscar, which he eventually did, because if you look at the opening monologue that he does and the closing monologue, they're absolutely extraordinary.
But of course,
I didn't shoot those with him.
that a remake, too. Hard to believe that somebody would take on Jack Nicholson and, well...
There you go. I mean, isn't that amazing? Because when Christopher said to me, we're going to do Dark Knight, and I didn't know what that meant. And I said, well, who's like the villain in that? And he said, the Joker. And I went, oh, my God, Jack Nicholson. You know, how do you follow Jack Nicholson? And I said, well, who have you cast? And he said, Heath Ledger. And for some unknown reason, I just said, oh, that'll be okay then. I just said it like that. And I don't know why I said it. And Heath turned out so fantastic and won an Oscar for it.
Michael Caine, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michael Caine's new film, Is Anybody There?, opens April 17th in cities around the country. Thanks very much. He joined us today from the studios of member station WNYC in New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.